Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, in the previous two sessions, we have been discussing the variations of the Usmani codices, the way he had copied them or he had them copied. And in the previous two episodes of this topic, we have been describing and also critically analyzing the texts of these narratives which describe these variations. Today onwards, inshallah, we shall discuss the chains of narration of these narratives and see how they stand to the test of historical criticism. Now, as you would recall, we had discussed three books from which these narratives have been taken. The first of them is Kitab al-Masahif, then we have Fazail al-Quran. The Kitab al-Masahif obviously belongs to Ibn Abi Dawud. Fazail al-Quran from Abu Ubaid Qasim al-Sallam. And then we have al-Muqni of Dani. So we shall discuss all these three books and the chains of narration of the narratives which are found in these three books. And we'll start off with Kitab al-Masahif of Ibn Abi Dawud, and it shall be represented by the letter MA, and the numbers MA1, MA2 would represent the number or the sequence in which the narratives have been cited in the Kitab al-Masahif. And first, as I said, we shall start with Ibn Abi Dawud's Kitab al-Masahif, and there are 20 basic or primary narratives in this regard whose chains of narration are discussed now. Now, first of all, MA1, or the first narrative, as you can see, is being displayed before you. I'll just display the chains of narration of these narratives and then discuss the narrators and these chains. It starts off, Haddasna Abu Bakr Abdullah ibn Abi Dawud, Haddasna Yunus ibn Habib an Qutayba ibn Mehran, Haddasna Ismail ibn Jafar wa Suleiman ibn Muslim ابن جماز الزهري قال سمعنا خالد بن عياس بن سخر بن أبي الجهم يذكر أنه قرأ مصحف عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه فوجد فيه مما يخالف مصاحف أهل المدينة 12 حرفا منها. So this is the basic chain of narration which I have described before you. Just read it out, and the remaining part is basically the actual matan, or the text of the narrative, which I'm leaving out, as I said before. Now, in this particular chain of narration, Khalid ibn Ayas ibn Sakhar al-Madini, who according to al-Mizzi is actually Khalid ibn Ayas, Khalid ibn Ilyas ibn Sakhar, he is very suspect. Now, as he has recorded in his Tazib al-Kamal, Mizzi says that Ahmad ibn Hanbal regards him, Bukhari and Ahmad ibn Hanbal regard him to be Munkar al-Hadith. And Ahmad ibn Ambal has also said that he is Matruk al-Hadith. And al-Bukhari and Yahya ibn Ma'in say that he is Laysa Bishai. And the latter also says about him, La Yuktabu Hadithuhu. So Yahya ibn Ma'in has also added these words. Abu Hatim has regarded him to be Zayif, Zayif al-Hadith and Munkar al-Hadith. And Abu Zura says that he is Laysa Biqawi, Zayif. So both these terms of impugnation are mentioned or attributed to Abu Zura. Now, Abu Nu'aym says that his hadith are not worth two pennies. An-Nasai says that he is matrukul hadith, laysa bisika, la yuktabu hadithuhu. So all these three terms are attributed to him by An-Nasai. Ibn Hibban says that he narrates from trustworthy people what is fabricated. And this has been mentioned by Ibn Hibban in his Al-Majruheen. So he says that he narrates from trustworthy people what is fabricated, and one is led to believe that he himself is the fabricator. He himself, the person who's forged the detail or the narrative. It is not allowed to write his hadith except to express amazement and wonder. So this is what he has described in his Al-Majruheen, Ibn Hibban. Now, according to Ibn Hajar, who has described this in his Taqrib al-Tahzib, he is Matruk al-Hadith, belonging to the seventh generation, which is the generation of the senior followers of the followers. And he also records, and this has been recorded in his Tahzib al-Tahzib, in the opinion of At-Tirmizi, he is regarded Zaif by the Ahlul Hadith. As-Saji says that he is Zaif al-Hadith Jiddan. Al-Bazzar says that he is Laysa bil-Qawi. And Ibn Abdul Bar says that all of them regard him to be Zaif. We find the following comments about him by Ibn Abi Dawud as well. And this has been recorded by him in his Kitab al-Masahif. And he says, Huwa fil hadith Zaif. Huwa fil hadith Zaif wa fil qirat lahu mawzir. Which means that he is weak in matters of hadith, but in matters of Quranic readings, he holds a position. So as far as hadith is concerned, and since this has been reported in the way of a hadith, we shall also ascribe this opinion of Ibn Abi Dawud or hold it correct to him in this matter. Now, we go on to the next narration in this regard of yours, and this is MA2. And now this is being displayed before you, the chain of narration, as you can clearly see. Haddasna Abdullah, qala haddasna Ahmad ibn Ibrahim ibn al-Muhajir, haddasna Sulaiman ibn Dawud al-Hashimi, haddasna Ismail ibn Jafar, an Khalid ibn Iyas, ibn Sakhr ibn Abil Jaham al-Adwi, wa Sulaiman ibn Muslim ibn Jammaz, inna hazihi al-huruf maktubatun fi Mus'haf Usman ibn Affan, رضي الله عنه وهي تخالف قراءة أهل المدينة ومصايفهم وهي إثنا عشر حرفا. So you can see the chain of narration which I have read out before you. Now, no biographical information exists about Ahmad ibn Ibrahim ibn al-Muhajir. No one mentions him even by name except Ibn Abi Dawud. And according to Abdul Subhan, and of course when I say this, I refer to Dr. Muhibuddin Abdul Subhan, who in his Dirasat wa Tahqiq wa Naqd ala Kitab al-Masahif, that is the book that he has written. So he says that the Chester Beatty text of Kitab al-Masahif has al-Muhajiri instead of Muhajir. So this is the correction that he has made, or the addition, or the other variant of his name that he has mentioned. Now, another thing which of worth note is that no jar or ta'dil exists on Sulaiman ibn Muslim ibn al-Jammaz. And Rijal works mention him, and biographical works do mention him, but they do not mention any jar or ta'dil about him. Now, he died after 170 Hijrah. This is also evident. And we have this information from Tahbir al-Taysir fil Qiraat al-Ashr of Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Yusuf al-Jazari. So he died after 170 Hijrah. And according to Dr. Muhibuddin Abdul Subhan, the Chester Beatty text of Kitab al-Masahif has the word Jammam instead of Jammaz. So you can clearly see that the person who is actually reporting this narrative, the final person, Sulaiman ibn Muslim, he died near 170 Hijrah. So you can clearly see that he's a person who lived almost a century after the differences that he is actually reporting. Now, the second person who also exists of suspect nature in this chain of narration is Khalid ibn Ilyas ibn Sakhr, who we have already described in the previous narrative. So all in all, we can see that MA2 is rendered weak because of the presence of both these narrators. Now we go on to MA3, and MA3, viewers, the chain of narration is being displayed before you, and the words are Haddasna Abdullah qala haddasana Muhammad ibn Arafa, haddasana Ibrahim ibn al-Hasan, haddasana Bashar ibn Ayyub qala haddasani Usayd ibn Yazid qala fi Mus'haf Usman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu sayaquluna lillah salasatuhunna bighayri alif. So as far as this chain of narration is concerned, the thing of importance to note is that no biographical accounts are available of Muhammad ibn Arfa and Ibrahim ibn al-Hasan. They're not even mentioned. Their biographical notes, their life histories are not even mentioned. And no jar or ta'dil is available on Bashar ibn Ayyub and Usayd ibn Yazid al-Madini. So the first two narrators do not exist in the biographical books, and the second ones, these two do not have any jar or ta'dil in the books of Rijal. So this would make this narrative extremely suspect, and we cannot accept it. We go on, viewers, to MA4. Now, as far as MA4 is concerned, this chain of narration is also being displayed before you. And it is Haddasna Abdullah, Haddasna Muhammad ibn Arafa, Haddasna Ibrahim ibn al-Hasan, Haddasna Bashar ibn Ayyub, qala Haddasani Usayd ibn Yazid, anna fi Mus'haf Usman ibn Affan, wa qulna hasha lillahi laysa alif. As you can see, viewers, the chain of narration is exactly the same as MA3. So MA4 and MA3 have exactly the same chains of narration, and the same critique as I've just described before you regarding MA3 also applies to MA4. Next, we move on to MA5. And as you can see that it is being displayed before you, Haddasana Abdullah qala Haddasana Abu Hatim al-Sajistani, Haddasana Yaqub an Bashar yan Naqit, عن أسيد قال في مصحف عثمان ووصى بغير ألف. Now, as far as Yaqub is concerned, he's actually Yaqub ibn Ishaq al-Hadrami, and he has been regarded as trustworthy generally. However, Ibn Sa'd says that he used to narrate from people whom he met when he was young, and that he is laysa huwa indahum bizaq al-zabt. So he's not that that reliable a person, not that a person who has a very sound memory because of his very young age. When he met people from whom he would narrate. Now, also of importance is that the two people here who are mentioned, and they are Bashar ibn Ayyub al-Naqid and Usayd ibn Yazid al-Madini. Viewers, we do not have any jar or ta'dil available about them in biographical book, in biographical accounts or in books of Rijal. So again, this is something which makes this narrative also very suspect. Next, we move on to the sixth narrative of Kitab al-Masaif, MA6. And as you can see that its chain of narration is being displayed before you, and that is Haddasana Abdullah qala Haddasana Muhammad ibn Arfa Haddasana Ibrahim ibn al-Hasan Haddasana Bashar ibn Ayyub qala Sami'tu Usaydin yaqul washhad bi annana muslimun fi Musaf ibn Usman salasatu ahruf. So as you can see very clearly that this MA6 narrative has exactly the same chain of narration as MA3 above. And we have already seen that in case of MA3, no biographical accounts are available of Muhammad ibn Arfa and Ibrahim ibn al-Hasan, and that no jar or ta'dil is available on Bashar ibn Ayyub and Usayd ibn Yazid al-Madini, which makes this chain of narration extremely suspect. Now, viewers, we move on to MA7. حدثنا عبد الله قال حدثنا أحمد بن محمد بن الحسين بن حفص قال حدثنا خلاد حدثنا عيسى بن عمر الحمداني قال أخبرني محمد بن عبد الله عن الصبيح عن عثمان أنه سمعه يقرأ ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وَيَسْتَعِينُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا أَصَابَهُمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So we can see that it is a big addition in the verse which we know very differently generally. Now, in this regard, we need to understand that Sabih ibn Sa'id al-Najashi is the full name of Sabih. As you can see, he's been described by just Sabih in the narrative. So his full name is Sabih ibn Sa'id al-Najashi. He is Za'if. And we can see that Abul Hasan Muhammad ibn Abul Karam Muhammad ibn al-Jazari in his Al-Lubab fi Tahzib al-Ansab has described this. And although he has narrated from Usman ibn Affan, Ibn Habban records that he would report narratives from companions which would not be their narratives, and Yahya ibn Ma'in has called him a liar. Now, this information, viewers, has been recorded by Ibn Habban in his Al-Majruhin. And it has been recorded by Ibn Hajar in his Lisan al-Mizan that he has narrated from Usman. But this is the problem, that he would narrate from companions which would not be their narratives, and that Yahya ibn Ma'in says that he is a liar. Now, Abu Dawud says that he is Laysa Bishay, and this has been recorded by Al-Zahabi in his Mizan al-Itadal. Yaqut records that he concocts hadith, and this has been recorded by Yaqut in his Mu'jam al-Buldan. So Yaqut al-Hamawi has said something very, very disparaging. He says that he's a person who forges and fabricates narratives. So now, viewers, we go on to the MA8. And MA8 is also now being displayed before you. And it says, حدثنا عبد الله قال حدثنا أحمد بن محمد حدثنا خلاد قال سمعت السفيان الصوري يسأله عن هذا الحديث. So actually, when he says يسأله عن هذا الحديث, then the person who he's actually asking is Sabih al-Sa'id al-Najashi from the previous narrative. So as I have just described the jar on Sabih ibn Sa'id al-Najashi, and you can clearly see that he is someone on whom we cannot rely upon. And he is a person, as I said, who concocts hadith in the view of Yaqut al-Hamawi. Viewers, now we move on to MA9, which is the ninth narrative in this regard, and you can see that the ninth narrative is being displayed before you. The words are حَدَّثْنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ يَحْيَى الْخُنَيْسِي حَدَّثْنَا خَلَّادُ بْنُ خَالِدِ الْمُقْرِي عَنْ عَلِيِّ بْنِ حَمْزَةَ الْكَسَائِي قَالَ اخْتِلَافُ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ وَأَهْلُ الْكُوفَةِ وَأَهْلُ الْبَصْرَةِ. So basically, this chain of narration is describing the differences which are found in the recitals of the people of Medina, the people of Kufa, and the people of Basra. But now let us see how the chain of narration fares in this regard. Now, first of all, no jar or ta'dil is available on Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Khunaisi. He's a person who figures in the chain of narration, and there's no jar or ta'dil available on him. Now, as far as the final person is concerned, who is the person who actually narrates this report, he is Ali ibn Hamza al-Kasai. He is a reciter of Kufa who died in 189 Hijra, which is evident from al-Bukhari's Tariqh al-Kabir. So he is a person who died in 189 Hijra, and clearly you can see that he could not have been contemporaneous to some of the events that he may have been describing, especially if they relate to the era in which Usman himself was present. Although we can say later on that in this particular narrative he is actually describing the differences of opinion which might have occurred in his own times, because the words are ikhtilafu ahlil madina wa ahlul kufa wa ahlul basra. Now, as I said, no jar or ta'dil is available of Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Khunaisi. So, as far as Ali ibn Hamza al-Kasai is concerned, we have the following jara on him, and I'm going to read out before you, and this has been recorded on the authority of Yaqut al-Hamawi. So, he says that حُكِعَ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ أَقَامَ غُلَامًا مِمَّنْ عِنْدَهُ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَقَامَ يَفْسَقُ بِهِ وَجَاءَ بَعْضُ الْكُتَّابِ ليسلم عليه فرآه الكسائي ولم يراه الغلام فجلس الكسائي في مكانه وبقي الغلام قائما مبهوتا فلما دخل الكاتب قال الكسائي ما شأن هذا الغلام قائما قال وقع الفيل عليه فانتسب. It is narrated from him that he made one of his slaves. Now this is Ali ibn Hamza al-Kasai himself, and this is something which is extremely disturbing and also very, very shocking, which I'm just going to describe for you. So he made one of his slaves stand and committed sodomy with him. Another slave came to him to pay salutations to him. Al-Kasai saw him, but that slave did not see him. So the person who was visiting was also a slave. Al-Kasai saw the visitor, but the slave did not himself see the person who had arrived. So Al-Kasai sat down at his place while that slave kept standing in an astounding state. So the words are mabhutan. The slave who came to visit Kasai asked him, what is the matter with that slave? So Kasai answered, the act has been done on him, so he has stood up. The act of sodomy has been done on him and he has stood up. So this is something very, very shocking and very disturbing as far as Al-Kasai is concerned. And we have more in this regard, and as you can see, Ibn al-Arabi says that Khan al-Kasai عَلَمُ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ رَحْكٍ فِيهِ كَانَ يَدِيمُ الشُّرْبُ النَّبِيزِ وَيُجَاهِرْ بِاتِّخَاذِ الْغِلْمَانِ الرَّوْقَ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ كَانَ زَابِطًا قَارِئًا عَالِمًا بِالْعَرَبِيَ صَدُوقًا. Ibn al-Arabi says that Al-Kasai was the most knowledgeable person, though with some bad habits. He had some very, very evil habits. He was a chronic drinker of al-Nabiz and was openly famous for keeping beautiful boys, except that he had a sound memory, was a reciter of the Quran, and a competent scholar of Arabic and a truthful person. So he was a chronic drinker and he was known to keep beautiful boys. Obviously, we know in the light of the previous narratives what the purpose was. Now, another thing which As-Suyuti records in this regard is, and he records this in his Al-Bughya Al-Wa'at, and he also says this on the authority of Ibn al-Arabi, كان الكسائي عالم الناس ضابطا عالما بالعربية قارئا صدوقا إلا أنه كان يديم شرب النبيز ويأتي الغلمان. Ibn al-Arabi says, Al-Kasai had a sound memory, was a competent scholar of Arabic, a reciter, and a truthful person, except that he was a drinker of al-Nabiz and would sodomize boys. So, unfortunately, this is what the information that we have on Ali ibn Hamza al-Qasai, a very famous narrator, but afflicted with these horrific, this horrific habit. Now, we move on to the 10th narration in this regard, which is MA 10, and as you can see that it is being displayed before you.
حدثنا عبد الله قال حدثنا محمد بن يحيى قال حدثني خلاد بن خالد عن خالد بن إسماعيل بن مهاجر قال قرأت على حمزة الزيات والجارز القربة ثم قلت إن في مصاحفنا زا أفأقرأها قال لا تقرأها إلا زي.
So as you can see, the chain of narration, no biographical information is available on Khalid ibn Ismail ibn Muhajir. Also, no jar or ta'dil is available on Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Khunaisi. I've already pointed this out. Now, let's also see. Hamza ibn Ziyad, he himself is a very famous reciter. He was born in 80 Hijra and died in 156 or 158. And now we shall see what the jar on Hamza is as recorded by Al-Mizzi in his Tehzib al-Kamal. So Yazid ibn Harun sent a message to Abu Sha'sa in the city of Wasit that no one should recite the reading of Hamza in their mosque. According to Ahmad ibn Sanan, Yazid held Hamza's reading in great abhorrence. Ahmad ibn Sanan also reports that he heard Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi saying that had he authority over those who recited the reading of Hamza, he would have hurt his back and stomach. Az-Zahabi records, according to As-Saji, he is Saduq Sayyul Hifz. Ahmad ibn Hanbal disliked the reading of Hamza. And we also have the fact that Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash regarded the reading of Hamza as a bidah. Ibn Hajar records, Yazid ibn Harun greatly hated the reading of Hamza. Ahmad ibn Hanbal disliked praying behind an imam who would read Hamza's reading. Ibn Durayd desired that the reading of Hamza be expelled from Kufa. Next, viewers, we move on to the 11th narrative, MA 11, and as you can see, it's a chain of narration being displayed before you. And let me also point out the last few pieces of information in which I had said that Yazid ibn Harun greatly hated the reading of Hamza, and that Ahmad ibn Hanbal disliked praying behind an imam who would be reading Hamza's recital, and that Ibn Durayd desired the reading of Hamza to be expelled from Kufa. This has been mentioned by Ibn Hajar in his Tahzib al-Tahzib. So we were talking about MA 11, and its chain of narration is حدثنا Abdullah, حدثنا Ahmad ibn Ibrahim al-Muhajir, ibn al-Muhajir, حدثنا Sulaiman ibn Dawood, حدثنا Ismail ibn Ja'far, and Khalid ibn Iyas ibn Sakhr, ibn Abil Jaham al-Adavi, Sulaiman ibn Muslim ibn Jammaz, anna Ahl al-Madina, yukhalifuna al-Asnai Ashara, harafan التي هي مكتوبة التي هي مكتوبة في مصحف عثمان بن عفان فيقرؤون بعضها بزيادة وبعضها بنقصان. Now, in this regard, I'd just like to point out that no jar or ta'dil exists on Sulaiman ibn Muslim ibn Jammaz, as has also been pointed out. Although Rijal and biographical works mention him, but there is absolutely no jar or ta'dil. And we also know that he died after 170 Hijra, as has been recorded in Tahbir al-Taysir fil Qiraat al-Ashr of al-Jazari, of Yusuf al-Jazari. And also, viewers, if you can recall that Khalid ibn al-Ilyas ibn Sakhr, he is a person who is extremely suspect. He is found in this chain of narration, and we had already described the jar on him when we were discussing MA1. Next, viewers, we move on to MA 12, and the chain of narration has been displayed before you. It says, حدثنا Abdullah, قال حدثنا عمر, حدثنا عمر بن عثمان بن سعيد بن كثير بن دينار, حدثنا أبي قال سألت قارئين لأهل المدينة فلم آلوه عما اختلف فيه من العرب من أهل المدينة وأهل الشام وأهل العراق فزعما أن قراءتهما على قراءة أهل العراق غير أن أثني عشر حرفا وافقون فيها وخالفوهم. So, although I have read out some of the part of the text, but primarily we have to concentrate on the chain of narration. And the viewers, you can see the final person who has reported this narrative is actually Usman ibn Sa'id ibn Kasir ibn Dinar, and he died in 209 Hijra, and this has been recorded by Ibn Hajar in his Taqrib al-Tahzib. So the person who is reporting these differences is a person who belongs to the 3rd century, and he is reporting the difference of the people of Syria, Medina, and Iraq. And again, the question, as I said, would arise, why is it that previous people or people who belong to the earlier eras did not report these differences? So we now move on to MA 13, viewers, and the chain of narration is being displayed before you. And the words are, حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو حَفْصٍ أَبُو عَمْرُ بْنُ عُثْمَانَ الْحِمْسِي قَالَ أَهْلُ الشَّامِ يَقْرَؤُونَ. Now, as you can see, the person who narrates this report is Amr ibn Usman. And now we know that he died in 250 Hijrah. And this has been recorded by Ibn Hajar in his Taqrib al-Tahzib. So a person who died in 250 Hijrah, living in the 3rd century, again, the same question arises, why is it that such a late person living in such an era in which differences must have been reported or must have been found much earlier, he is reporting these in such an era in which we would suspect that it is too late, or perhaps something in which such differences should have been reported much earlier as well. Next verse, we move on to MA 14, and you can see that its chain of narration is being displayed before you, and it says, حدثنا عبد الله حدثنا كثير بن عبيد حدثنا المعافي بن عمران الزهري حدثنا إسماعيل بن عياش عن سوادة بن زياد البرحي قال ما اختلفت فيه أهل المدينة وأهل العراق من حروف القرآن. So again, this is part of some of the text as well. But we need to understand that as far as the chain of narration is concerned, no jar or ta'dil is available on Sawada ibn Ziyad. So he is the person who is actually reporting this narrative. And according to Ibn Hajar in his Taqrib al-Tahzib, Ismail ibn Ayyash died in 182 and 183 Hijrah at the age of little over 70. So, and we can see that he himself is reporting from Sawada ibn Ziyad. And clearly we can see and imagine the era of Sawada ibn Ziyad, if Ismail ibn Ayyash, who reports from him, actually died in 182-183. Next is MA 15, viewers, and the words are, وَقَالَ كَسِيرُ بْنُ عُبَيْدٍ فِي إِمَامِ أَهْلِ الشَّامِ. And again, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى. As you can see, this is part of the text. But according to Ibn Hajar, in his Taqrib al-Tahzib, Kasir ibn Ubaid died in 250 Hijrah. So again, he's a person who lived in the 3rd century. Now we move on to MA 16, viewers. And as you can see, its chain of narration before you on the screen. حدثنا عبد الله قال حدثنا محمد بن صدقة الجبلاني الحمصي وكان في سوق يهود وكان معلما وحدثنا شريح بن يزيد أبو حيوة عن عبد البرهشم في اختلاف أهل الشام وأهل العراق. So again, this is something which relates to the later part, the text of the narrative, only part of which we have read out. So Ibn Abi Dawud has specified that Abu Birhasham is actually Jarir ibn Ma'dan al-Hadrami al-Himsi, and is actually the nephew of Muawiyah ibn Saleh, a reciter of hymns. So this is additional information which the person who has recorded this narrative, Ibn Abi Dawud, he himself has told us. Now, according to Ibn Jazri, he's actually Imran ibn Usman. Moreover, Abu Hayawa Shuraih ibn Yazid, and this has been recorded by Ibn al-Jazari this also has been recorded by Ibn Abi Dawud himself. Now, Abu Hayawa Shuraih ibn Yazid died in 203 Hijrah, which means that Abu Birhasham lived in the 2nd century, clearly. The other possibility is that he lived much earlier, but between him and Shuraih, there were other narrators. We find a person called Jafshish ibn Norman al-Kindi, who is also called Jarir ibn Ma'dan, and this we can see from Ibn Abdul Barz al-Isti'ab. He came to visit the Prophet in the delegation from Kinda. If it is this person who is implied in the narrative, then obviously there are missing narrators between him and Shuraih. So then we have a clear inqita, or a case of a breakage within the chain of narration, if this is the person implied. Moreover, in both cases, we do not have any jar or ta'dil available on him. So we do not have any jar or ta'dil available on him. And so therefore, again, whether he is the person who belongs to the prophetic era or the person who belongs to the later, in both cases, we do not have any jar or ta'dil available. Next, we move on to MA 17, viewers, and the chain of narration, as you can see before you. حدثنا عبد الله حدثنا محمد بن صدقة حدثنا أبو حيابة حدثنا أبو بشر بن عبيد قال في إمام أهل الشام وأهل الحجاز ما مكنني فيه ربي خير قال مبشر في إمام أهل العراق ما مكنني فيه ربي خير. So we have already described this difference earlier on, but this is the chain of narration. Now, viewers, as far as Mubashir ibn Ubayd is concerned, he is totally unreliable. According to Abu Hatim in his Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil, he is Munkarul Hadith Jiddan and Zayiful Hadith. Ibn Hajar in his Taqrib al-Tahzib has called him Matruk. And Al-Mizzi in his Tahzib al-Kamal records the following information about him. So according to Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he is Laysa Bishai and fabricates Hadith. Al-Bukhari regards him to be Munkarul Hadith. Ad-Darqutni says that he is Matrukul Hadith. Now, Ibn Habban, and he has recorded this information in Al-Majruheen. So, Ibn Habban says that he narrates fabricated Hadith from trustworthy people. It is not allowed to write his narrative except to express amazement or wonder. According to Ibn Hajar, he belongs to the seventh Tabaqa, which is the generation of the senior followers of the followers. So, this is the information about Mubashir ibn Ubayd, after which we can clearly see that this narration cannot be accepted. We now move on, viewers, to MA 18, and as you can see it being displayed before you, and the words are حدثنا عبد الله قال سمعت أبا حاتم السجستاني يقول بين مصافي أهل المكة وأهل البصرة اختلاف حرفان, and then it describes that difference. But the important thing here is, viewers, that Abu Hatim السجستاني, who was actually Sahal ibn Muhammad ibn Usman, he died in 255 Hijra. So a person who is reporting these differences after almost 2.5 centuries or 2 centuries. Now, we next move on to MA 19. So, قال أبو بكر بن أبي داود وذكر بعض أصحاب عن محمد بن عيسى القاري الأصبهاني عن محمد بن سفيان الكوفي قال سمعت علي بن حمزة يعني الكسائي قال. And then we have the chain of narration. Now, viewers, the isnad, as you can clearly see, the words are wa zakara ba'zu ashabina. So it contains an unknown person and hence is not reliable. And about Muhammad ibn Sufyan ibn Wardan ibn Habban in his as-siqat says yukhti wa yahim. He makes mistakes and he's also forgetful and he's not very precise. And Abu Hatim and Abu Zura regard him to be Saduqun fil Hadith. And as far as Ali ibn Hamza al-Kasai is concerned, I have already recited the jar on him, and we have seen that he was a person who would sodomize, and he was guilty of sodomy. And that's, as I said, is something which is obviously very shocking and very, very, very horrific to find this detail. Now, viewers, let's move on to MA 20, which is the final narrative as far as the Kitab al-Masaif is concerned. And the words are, قال محمد هو ابن عيسى سمعت خلفا يقول في مصاحف أهل المكة. So this is the final narrative, and you can clearly see that the narrative is broken, is munkata. This is evident from MA 19, the previous one, from which it is known that Ibn Abi Dawud does not directly narrate from Muhammad ibn Isa. As you can see, viewers, earlier on, that Muhammad ibn Isa, between Muhammad ibn Isa and Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawud, there is a person, although who's not mentioned in MA 19, but we can clearly see that he's Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Dawud does not narrate directly from him. So therefore, we can see that this is something which is an anomaly, which is not acceptable. And this is further corroborated by the fact that the word qala is used here. And Ibn Abi Dawud has not specified that he heard this narrative from Muhammad ibn Isa. So he has just said, qala Muhammad ibn Isa, without specifying from where did he get this information. Because as I said, in the previous narrative, it is clear that he did not directly meet him. So also it is evident from Danid al-Bayan that Khalaf is Khalaf ibn Hisham, and he is a famous reciter of Baghdad who died in 229 Hijra. So this is again another information, but the primary critique, as I said, on this is that Muhammad ibn Isa is a person from whom Ibn Abi Dawud does not directly narrate, and hence we can clearly see that there is some inqita found here. So viewers, this is a review of the 20 chains of narration which are found in the Kitab al-Masahif of Ibn Abi Dawud. Inshallah, in the next episode, we'll see the chains of narration in the rest of the two books, which are Fazail al-Quran of Abu Ubaid and Al-Muqni of Ad-Dani, and see how their chains stand to the test of criticism. As for now, it is Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa lisair al-muslimina wal muslimat.